بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا وعلى القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم اجعل على محمد بارك محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقي بحمد الله. One of the ways of classifying wujub is to divide wujub into mutlaq and mashrut, conditional and unconditional, or conditional absolute. Conditional means muqayyad, mashrut, means the wujub is not always there. It depends on a condition. If the condition is fulfilled, the wujub is there. Otherwise, there is no wujub. Like we said, istata'a for hajj. If someone is not mustati, is hajj wajib?
No.
Do you need to make yourself mustati? For example, do you need to save money so that you go to hajj?
No.
Someone can avoid becoming mustati. You know? So, as soon as you get money, give it out. Then you don't become mustati. Okay? So, it's not necessary to make yourself mustati so that hajj becomes wajib. Yes, if someone used to be mustati and he didn't go hajj and no longer is mustati, he has to go to hajj. Because the wujub of hajj now is fixed on him. Do you know? Okay. But the same hajj with respect to another thing can be mutlaq. With respect to istita'a is mashrut or muqayyad. For example, to be able to go to hajj and perform my duties, I have to travel. I cannot do hajj here. I have to travel. Traveling from here to Mecca and Medina, of course Medina is not part of hajj, but going there to that land, to miqat, is a condition. But is this a condition for wujub? So that if I don't travel, hajj is not wajib? No, this is not a condition for wujub. This is a condition for hajj, not for wujub of hajj. Do you get the difference? You know, one of the things that you learn in usul, that you understand subtle points. You can make distinctions. Those who have not studied usul, maybe, of course, sometimes instinctively they are very sharp, but sometimes you can sharpen your mind. Usul makes your mind very sharp. So traveling is not a condition for wujub of hajj. It is a condition for performance of hajj. Taking visa, I have to apply for visa. I have to book ticket. These are needed. Without these, you cannot do hajj. But can you say, I don't apply for visa, I don't book flight, so that hajj does not become wajib? No. Whether you do this or not, hajj is wajib. Because wujub of hajj was not conditional on these things. So now, to make this technically expressed, you can say istita'a is condition for wujub, but traveling, visa and ticket are conditions for wajib, not for wujub. There is wujub and there is wajib. Wujub is obligation. Wajib is obligatory. What is obligatory here? Hajj. Is visa condition for obligation or for what is obligatory, which is Hajj. Visa is a condition for wajib, which is obligatory. Not for wujub, which is obligation. Is it clear? So sometimes we have conditions for wajib, and sometimes we have conditions for wujub. Those which are conditions for wujub, you don't need to bring them, because without them there is no wujub. But those which are conditions for wajib, you have to bring them, because without them still wujub is there. Is it clear? So if you came from home today and just learned this, your trip was good and meaningful. But inshallah you learn many other things. The difference between wujub and wajib. Okay?
Would you call them the preliminaries? The obligatory, the requirements. Are they like the wajib preliminaries?
Or prerequisites.
Yeah.
A prerequisite, but prerequisite for obligatory, not for obligation. For example, wuzu for salat. Is it a condition? Yes. But is it condition for wujub or for wajib? For wajib. So you cannot say without wuzu there is no wujub. Wujub is there. Whether you have wuzu or no, wuzu is there, obligation is there. But in order to implement what is obligatory, you need wuzu. Therefore, wuzu becomes wajib. Okay, do you get the point? No, that's another thing. Wajib. We will talk about that another time later. So, one classification is to divide wujub into mutlaq and muqayyad or mashrut. You can say muqayyad, you can say mashrut. Okay. Now, the one which is mutlaq, which is unconditional, this by itself is divided into two. Munajjaz and mu'allaq. The same thing that I was explaining to you now with some technical terms. Munajjaz means it's unconditional and the wujub has now become effective, is in effect, it's in place. For example, it's now 1 hour after Zohr. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Salat is wajib, and actually you have to do it. But if it is 11 o'clock in the morning, Salat Zohr is wajib, but it's not yet in effect. Okay? So it is mu'allaq. It's not munajjaz. Munajjaz. Injaz means something which is actualized. Mu'allaq means suspended. Means still we need for the time to come. So, Salat Zuhr at 10 o'clock is different from Hajj for someone who is not mustati. Don't, you know, get confused. Someone who is not mustati, Hajj for him is not obligatory. At 10 o'clock, Hajj is obligatory, but the time of performing it has not come. Okay? Like what? In the months of, for example, Zilqa'dah. Okay? It's not still the time for performing Hajj. So when you have to perform Hajj? In Zilhajjah. But because wujub of Hajj is there even before the time comes, you have to bring the prerequisites. You understand? Hmm. Don't think, you know, ulama have too much time, you know, to spend on these things. These are all important. They have practical implications. Wujub of something, if it is unconditional, it is there even before the time. And this is why you have to make sure that you bring the prerequisites. Because if you say now it is Zulqa'dah and the time of Hajj comes later, so you don't do any muqaddamat, so when the Hajj comes, you are not able to do it. It's too late. Is it clear? So, wujub can be mutlaq, but at the same time mu'allaq, or it can be munajjaz. If it is munajjaz, means it has become actually effective. It's in place, like salat after midday. Hajj in the months of Zulhajjah, when the time of season of Hajj is there.
So it's wajib in the qayd zaman.
So wujub is there, but the time for wajib has not come. But sometimes the time has come, so it depends. And opposite to this, to mutlaq, is muqayyad or mashru'. Okay. The next classification. Wujub is sometimes ta'abbudi or tabassuli. Indeed, if you want to be more precise, you have to say wajib is either ta'abbudi or tabassuli. But sometimes in the book, these two are used interchangeably. I'm sure you are all familiar with ta'abbudi and tabassuli. Tabassul with sab, not sin. Yeah. Sometimes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us cannot be implemented without niyyah. You have to have proper intention, qasd or bat. Yeah? Intention of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone does a salat with all the conditions, just he doesn't have the intention. Imagine a person is doing salat in dream. While sleeping. Not dream. He's not conscious. You know, some people, when they are sleeping, sometimes they speak. Sometimes they walk. Okay, there are people that when they are sleeping, they walk. Or is drunk. He doesn't understand what he's saying. He says everything perfectly, but he's drunk. So this salat is without intention, because part of intention is consciousness, alertness. Part of it is purity of the intention. Anyway, salat without intention, even if you have all the physical actions of salat, is not valid. Is it clear? Khums. If you pay 20% of your extra income, but without niyyah, or your niyyah is bad. For example, I want to make sure that people say he's paying khums. If I don't pay khums, my family gets angry with me. My father, I don't know, gets angry with me. So, this is not enough. Islamic taxation is an act of worship. Yeah? For example, in worldly taxation, when you give your tax, whether you like the people who collect tax or not, whether you hate them, whether you have good intention, bad intention, they say, okay, you paid and now you are okay. But here it's an act of worship. You have to give with pure intention. Okay? Zakat, Hajj, fasting, all the same. But we have also some wajibat which are tabassuli. So you have to do the action. The physical action is important. Like what? If masjid is najis, we have to clean masjid. Whether someone has intention or no intention, or if he has good intention or bad intention, even if a robot can clean the masjid, it's okay. It doesn't need to be a human being, it can be a robot. If he can do all the proper washing. Like, you know, washing machine. Yeah, some washing machines are okay. So, there is no need for niyyah here. Okay? So, this is one classification, tabassuli and ta'abbuli. Another classification, muhaddad and ghayru muhaddad. Sometimes the wujub comes with some measure. Sometimes there is no measure. For example, we have to pay certain percentage as khums, certain percentage as zakat if it applies to you. 17 rak'ah prayer, 30 days in the months of Ramadan. This is muhaddad, this has fixed measure. Sometimes it is ghayrul muhaddad, there is no number attached to it. Okay? For example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Adl and ihsan are obligatory. How many times you have to observe adl? Can we say every day 5 times adl? No. There is no limit to it. You have to observe adl all the time. Ihsan all the time. Yeah? You have to listen to your parents, obey your parents. Is there a number? No, there's no number. Okay? So, sometimes wajib is muhaddad, sometimes is ghayrul muhaddad. Sometimes there is a number or measure attached to it, sometimes it's without that. Okay? The next classification, which is the last one for wujub, and I have a question to again check your alertness. But if you don't answer, still you can be alert because it's a bit difficult. But if you answer, it's certainly you are alert. Sometimes wajib is nafsi, sometimes is ghayri. What does nafsi mean?
Nafsi means
by itself. Sometimes it's by itself or for its own sake, wajib. Sometimes it's for the sake of another thing. Or ghayri. For example, when you say your prayer, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Aqimu salah. Establish prayer. Atu zakah. So zakat, salah, these are nafsi or ghayri?
Nafsi.
But Allah says, فَإِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. When you want to say salat, make wuzu. So wuzu is wajib. But is wuzu wajib for itself or it's wajib for the sake of salat?
For the sake of
salat. For the sake of salat. So what is wujub in itself?
Salat.
Yes, but what is wuzu in itself? It can be mustahab. Wuzu in itself, okay, can be mustahab. So, is mustahab nafsiyan and wajib ghayriyan? So, by itself is mustahab, by itself is recommended, but for salat it becomes obligatory. Okay? Is it clear? Now, my question. We said wajib ghayri is something which has become obligatory for the sake of another thing. Okay. Allah says in the Quran, أقم الصلاة للذكر. Establish prayer for my remembrance. So remembrance of Allah is wajib. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله. You have to remember Allah. And when you want to remember Allah, the best way is salat. So is salat ghairi or nafsi?
Here is ghairi.
No. الذين عن صلاتهم صاهون. Salat is in order to remember, but salat is not necessarily remembrance.
Actually, it's not dependent. Salat is not dependent on the remembrance of Allah.
Without remembrance, it was not wajib. Had it not been that we want to remember Allah, it was not wajib to do salat. Why we say salat? لذكري. Why we fast? لعلكم تتقون. كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So my question is clear.
Yes.
What's the answer?
I think zikr is nafsi wajib and salah is mukaddami in this particular verse.
So then, almost all the wajibat are ghairi in that case.
I believe that dhikr itself is wajib li nafsi and salah is also wajib li nafsi. But the verse is indicating the purpose of it, which is not the fiqh issue. For fiqh, you have to pray whether you're in remembrance or not in remembrance. But the purpose behind the prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is being explained by this verse. So it's not a fiqh ruling that the verse is mentioned.
So in other words, what is the difference between the relation of wuzu and salat and dhikr?
With salat you have to do even if you don't have the dhikr. In fiqh terms, it is wajib on you even if during the salat your attention was not on the dhikr of Allah.
No. So the legislation of salat is for dhikr. And for wuzu is also for salat.
And for dhikr.
Of course, then salat for zikr.
Is wajib a'am, wajib ghai, wajib a'am, ashmal.
This question is perhaps best answered by this point. That sometimes we are talking about the reasons for which Allah has made legislation. Because there's a hierarchy of ends. And Allah has legislated one after the other so that we can have that ultimate end. So in this case, we can say everything is ghairi except nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because even dhikr is for the sake of what? أَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ in dua I commit أَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيْكَ. So even dhikr is for getting closer to Allah. Okay? But here when we talk about wajib and nafsi and ghairi, that's not our concern. Wajib and nafsi and ghairi are understandable based on the text from which we draw the ruling. In other words, it's a matter of expression. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses something as an independent obligation, sometimes he expresses something as a prerequisite obligation. It's a matter of expression. Okay? It's a matter of expression. So when it comes to salat, he says, you have to say salat, say prayer. Aqimu salat, sallu. But when it comes to wuzu, he says, for the sake of salat, make wuzu. So it's a matter of how it is expressed. Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
There's one question I have. You see, the Ishmaelis, don't
can,
the
can we have it just a little after a few minutes? Yeah. Because I want to. Then we have istihbab. These were all classifications of wujub. Then we have istihbab, which alhamdulillah we already explained. It means that you are asked to bring something, but you have the possibility of not bringing. You will not be punished. You will not be, you know, questioned in the sense of blamed. So it's better to do it, but even if you don't do it, still it's okay. Okay? So mustahab is something that there is some flexibility with it. Okay? Then we have haram, which is prohibited. Definitely you must not do it. Makruh is better not to do it, but even if you do it, there is no punishment. And then ibaha, which means it's neutral, it's permissible, but when you say something is permissible, sometimes you use it in a general sense, which includes even makruh, because makruh is also permissible. Yeah? Mustahab is also permissible. But here, when we say mubah, we use it in a narrower sense, means something which is not haram, not makruh, not mustahab, not wajib. Okay? So neutral. Something which is not preferred to do or not to do. So these are ahkam taklifi, and then in contrast we have hukm vaz'i, which is a ruling with respect to certain condition. For example, something being condition for wujub, something being an obstacle, something being a cause, like istita'a is a condition for hajj, wuzu is a condition for salat. One is shart for wujub, one is shart for wajib. Theft is a cause for cutting off the hand, of course, if certain conditions, other conditions are met. Killing is a barrier or is an obstacle for inheritance. So this is hukm vaz'i. Inshallah, we continue this discussion with talking about the sources, the dalils, the adilla from which we draw Islamic rulings. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.